Hello and welcome to the pre-Big Ten Media Days Pick 6 podcast. This is Sam McEwen along with Chris Hetty and Evan Bland to my right. Welcome back, everyone. We've been gone for just a week. I've been gone for a while because I was on vacation, but these two guys did a great podcast last week talking about bold predictions, which I thought were great. Quite bold.
Right?
Yeah. It was like
bold. Evan made fun of my first one for not being bold enough. And then I went a little.
It wasn't the boldest.
No, it wasn't. No.
I got whiplash from how bold and less bold his stuff was.
Barrett Pickering hitting 16 to 20 field goals.
Oh, my gosh. Buckle up.
Anyway.
It got better.
It did. It got way bolder than that. I would say that, yeah, I think Barrett Pickering might hit 85%.
I wanted to see it, but I didn't.
Anyway. Hello, everybody. We're back here on in the middle of July, July 16th, here with the Pick 6 podcast. And it's a quiet season for Nebraska athletics. They ended their sports season back in early June. And then all the tumult of the coaching changes with Darren Erstad being replaced by Will Bolt. Of course, now we got this ongoing conversation with Nebraska softball coach. We're not going to get into that. Much here. Did you guys get into that last week? I didn't feel like I heard anything about that.
I don't think so. Had it broken yet?
There's just no, we didn't.
Yeah.
It had broken, yeah.
Okay.
There just wasn't enough information about it.
Yeah, and there still isn't a ton, I don't think. But we'll see where that all goes. But you know, suffice to say there's been a lot of change in the Nebraska Athletic Department over the last 18 months, and we'll see where that goes with the softball coach Ronda Revell. But really, we're just going to talk a little bit more about Big Ten Media Days. I know you guys talked about it last week.
But not super long.
I have a few things to add to the conversation to try to kind of go through there and go through it. So we'll talk top storylines from Big Ten Media Days, both Nebraska and just general stories in the Big Ten. We'll talk pizza because one gets that when one is in Chicago. So we'll talk about our favorite kind of pizza, since we're going to have deep dish pizza there, our favorite kind of pizza. And then we'll close it. It's going to be a quick one. We're going to be out of here fast, Sasha. So I don't know. I mean, hope you're enjoying this. Hope you listen to this before Big Ten Media Days, because this will get old pretty quick, because we're going to come right back next week and we're going to do it again. You're going to be on vacation, right?
Next week.
Yeah. Where are you going?
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
It's exotic. Yeah, see some family.
Going to Adventureland.
No. Yeah, kid's not old enough for that yet.
But you are.
Yeah, that's a good point.
that's coming down the pike.
Okay. Well, we will talk. We will talk about that, and we're also going to have our next session of Eatin' Chips. They're my chips today, and you'll have to try to guess them before I say which kind they are. People are surprised when they say this is my favorite chip. It's not quite my favorite chip. My favorite chip is a Sun Chip, but they don't have Sun Chips here, so these are not Sun Chips. But if you hear them rattling around, what kind of chips could they be? I don't know. So we're going to eat them. And
cliffhanger.
People will have to try to figure it out. But our sponsor, and I want to thank our sponsor as always, is the Schwalbach Agency. They're an Allstate agent. It's family-owned. Four licensed insurance pros saving thousands of Nebraska Husker fans money. They sell homeowner, auto, life, and flood insurance across Nebraska. They insure all the big boy toys. That's motorcycles, boats, RVs, and off-road vehicles. I was on a big boy toy.
I saw.
There's Twitter graphic evidence.
Yeah.
My brother's boat. It's very nice.
Yeah?
It's a very nice boat, and I enjoyed it immensely. Very fun time down in the Ozarks.
It's a very freeing feeling with the wind blowing through your hair on a boat.
Yeah, it is. And it's pretty choppy out there in the waters because that lake is not a isolated experience. Mm-hmm. So there's houses all over, beautiful houses. But everybody's got a boat. And so it's like you know, almost like a marina. There's marinas all over the place. And so there's a lot of traffic out there, which means there's a lot of waves. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of going over waves a lot. And the weather was perfect. We went the right week because this week it's going to be in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Here it's going to be 95 or whatever it is out there. Right today, I mean, the weather's going to be unbearable. It's going to be 100 in Chicago on Friday. when our second day, Big Ten Media Day.
Wonderful.
So we can walk outside of Grant Park and yeah.
Yeah, but luckily drinking. Doesn't that day start at like 6 a.m.?
It does. 8.
So then it'll be, you know, only 80 when we yeah. walk out the door.
Yeah, I think Kirk Ferentz or Jim Harbaugh kicks us off early in that morning.
That'll wake us up. That's a joke.
Yeah. Well, Kirk wouldn't.
Right.
Remember when Jim's kind of
yeah.
Yeah.
Like well, Tim Beckman. You I don't think were you there for the last year of the Beckman era?
I was not.
Oh boy. Because he got let go actually after Big Ten Media Days, I
That's
think.
That's
right. Before the season
yeah.
in 2015. And he got up there and he, you know, in his, like, I don't know, banker suit. And he gets up there and he's like, we got a saying! We call it OSKI! Which is, it was like OSKI. I'm like, you're a clown. And of course, he was like, go. Like,
Fleck last year was like, it was like taking a shot of tequila at like 7:45, and you were like, that woke me up, but I didn't enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, I know.
It was like, this is too early for this.
Yeah, he's got, good. You know, Fleck's got a certain manner about him. Anyway, if you've had your roof replaced in the last 5 years, give Joel Schwabach, call Schwabach, Nancy like Mostek, or Kyle Murdoch a call at 402-590-5200. They can help you save a bundle. Free, no obligation insurance reviews and quotes. Let's make sure all of our fellow Nebraska fans are properly protected. You can contact them again at 402-590-5200 or www.nebraskaallstate.com. That is Team Schwabach, the Schwabach Agency. We are thankful for them as sponsors. So, Big Ten Media Days is coming up. We will be there in force, like we usually are, down at the Hilton Chicago, which, as has been mentioned by almost every media member on the planet, it was the site of the dramatic climax of The Fugitive.
Did you kill Lentz too?
Yeah. A great movie,
oh,
by the
love
way.
Love that movie.
A terrific, terrific film, nominated for Best Picture that particular year, and just a fine piece of craftsmanship from director Andrew Davis. Good movie, good movie.
Here's your millennial. So for all the people in my world who are like, what's The Fugitive?
Oh boy. Yeah.
It's also where John Mulaney's mom took John Mulaney to meet Bill Clinton. It's at the end of his... one of his best specials.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did he mention The Fugitive? Is
he
that
did.
How you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. how you know. I think that's where Obama had his, not his inauguration, but I think his post-election. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a well-known place. It's right. I don't know if you guys have.
Where is it compared to where we were last year? Is it close at all?
It's right on the lake. Oh, so okay. It's across the street from Grant Park, and the lake is 2 blocks away. Oh, it's cool. Very pretty mm-hmm. and very nice. All those things, and you know, this is Jim Delaney's final year, so maybe they want to have it down there and have it class it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I've always liked it having it at McCormick Place personally because there's more space at McCormick Place than there is anywhere else, and Hilton Chicago is a little cramped, which I think you guys will find once you're in there. But that's where they're going to have it this year. They like having it downtown. They always have a luncheon on Friday. Tom Osborne and Barry Alvarez will be honored during the luncheon on Friday, which is an interesting pairing. Obviously, Barry played football in Nebraska and did not play for Tom, per se, but Osborne was the legendary coach at Nebraska. Alvarez, the legendary coach and athletic director mm-hmm. at Wisconsin. So it was, yeah, that'll be an interesting moment. Scott Frost brings 3 players, Adrian Martinez, Muhammad Berry, and Khalil Davis. So that last one surprised you a little bit. That was Khalil?
A little, but it makes more sense than other people.
I was fine. I mean, yeah Martinez and Barry were no-brainers to me. And if the D-line is really that position of strength, then bring one of your more talkative guys there.
I thought it would have been Carlos instead of Khalil. But
well, Khalil is graduated. And Carlos has 1 class left. Now, Khalil's not going to walk until August, but he has his degree. So
sure.
I suspect it had something to do. I mean, they're actually both really good at this point. when I talked to them back before the NCAA championships, you know, Khalil probably talked just as much. And they talk a little bit. I can tell the difference between them. Their voices are slightly different, and I can just tell the difference between them. But it would have been kind of cool if both of them had been there to see if people could really determine
mm-hmm.
The difference between them. But I think Khalil had a better, you know, had a good season, and both of them are headed to the NFL. And he'll have an opportunity to talk about his story. I'm happy he's there. I really am. Like, I think he's experienced a lot as a Husker football player. But B, talk about a great story. I mean, just one of the best stories on the team of a guy that was adopted at a very young age by his parents. Both of them were, Carlos and Khalil. And they've had these pretty incredible lives. I mean, they're just great guys, great kids, and great parents, and you know. So he's got a sense of humor, and he'll tell a great story, and all those different things. So I'm glad he was there. Muhammad Barry being a no-brainer, mm-hmm. I think that's pretty obvious that he would be there. He's sort of the conscience of the defense, and by that I mean, you know, he obviously feels like they need to, you know, atone for some of the things that they haven't been able to get done over the last two seasons, and of course the quarterback, Adrian Martinez, which I expected Martinez to be one of the guys there, in part because Scott Frost said he needs to be a leader, and one of the ways that you can lead your football program is to go speak on behalf of your team and speak about your teammates. And I think Martinez grew there in the spring, and so this will be an interesting opportunity for him. Evan, I know you're kind of talking about some of the storylines for Nebraska heading into the Big Ten Media Days, and I'm just curious what jumps out to you, not just about the players, but maybe a question that might be posed to Frost or you know, one of the players.
Well, yeah, I did some thinking on that, and we'll have a story coming out soon. I think one that's maybe a little less obvious is I'm going to be interested to see what the players and what Frost, what they all say about the Big Ten. You know, I think we can think back to Frost's first press conference as Nebraska coach when Dirk asked him, you know, what he would have to modify about his system. He famously said he hopes that the Big Ten will have to modify to them. And then just talking with some assistants in the spring about what it was like going from the AAC, where it's pretty much wide open offenses, to what you saw in the Big Ten, which was different week in and week out. You go from, you know, facing Michigan one week to Purdue, and how you adjust to all that. So I'm going to be fascinated to see, you know, what the players say about that. Adrian Martinez having gone through it now once, Khalil Davis pounding those Big Ten O-lines for a couple years, Mo Berry really breaking out as a first-time starter last year, and then Frost as well. You know, is he going to bring kind of that same bravado that he brought last year when he said, you better get us now because we're going to get better? You know, does that tone continue, or is there a little bit of reflection saying, you know, yeah, this is a little tougher, and maybe it'll take a little longer? I'm just going to be fascinated. As much as people are curious what some of the other teams think about Nebraska, to me, what Nebraska thinks about the Big Ten after 1 year is fascinating.
That's a good point. I had forgotten that Frost had said that last year. Now, I mean,
he said in the breakout section.
He did. To some degree, that turned out to be true. But you know, I mean, you could go back and rewind the last minutes of multiple Nebraska games and, you know, click your heels and turn out 6-6 or 7-5.
Absolutely. Like
there's some games that could have broke another way. So, you know, I wonder what their, you know, if they had gone 6-6 last year and snuck into a bowl game, you know, a lower tier game, I am curious as to, like, you know, what the perspective or swagger would be coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they had beaten Northwestern, for example, and they had found a way to pull that game out against Colorado. They really didn't deserve to win the Troy game. They were kind of controlled most of that game, and I wouldn't want to say they pulled it out. They probably should have won the Colorado game, you know, but they didn't. But if they'd won those two games and finished 6-6 and go to a bowl and they go 7-6, then this season I think just feels different. It's like, yeah, you know, I mean, we had a pretty good first season. Now we're going to, you know, build on it. But now, I mean, there's really a genuine sense of like, well, you know, you took a few lumps. Right, they were 4-8 last year, and
mm-hmm.
It can be easy to forget that, you know, because so many people are picking them to win the West, and they are they're preseason top 25 in multiple preseason magazines, and I'm guessing that they will get multiple preseason top 25 votes from many, many AP voters and many coaches. Maybe not as many coaches, but they'll get lots of votes, and so like all of a sudden now Nebraska has to, you know, play. They're not really the underdog going in. They're just not. So it's kind of an interesting what tone do they take of like, and it, I think it would be, you know, if Frost goes there and says, hey, we haven't proven anything. We went 4-8 last year. We're not here to beat our chest or to make any promises. We just need to get better. I could see him saying that, and I could see us saying, yeah, it makes more or less rough sense
mm-hmm.
for him to say it.
Yeah, and I think the other, if you want to narrow it down even further, just the defensive side of it, you have two defenders there in Khalil Davis and Mo Berry. What tone do they take? You know, you look at their season-long numbers, and most of your major statistical categories were not pretty. But they had a pretty good second half. The takeaway, you know, the turnover margin got better. It was positive in the second half. You could see the progress that they made. Where do they come out on this thing? Is it, man, we took our lumps, like you said, and we are really trying to atone for that? Is it, man, we really came on strong at the end of last year and we're going to build off that? It's just, there are a lot of different ways I feel like they can attack this thing, and whatever tone they take will really help kind of set the stage for the season and how we perceive things.
I mean, the thing I keep thinking about is, you know, in March, when everyone falls in love with a 13 seed in the NCAA tournament bracket, and they're like, I'm going to pick this team and go to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like Nebraska football right now.
Okay.
Where everyone's like, yeah, they went 4-8, but they're going to win the West.
Okay.
And I'm gonna feel really smart whenever
they
do.
And you're not sold on that.
No. No, I'm not.
Well, who are you sold on, though, in the West?
Here's the thing. Nobody.
All right.
So I mean, there's no one. We did Michael's, you know, little preseason Big Ten poll or whatever. Yeah. And I had an extremely difficult time through 4-8. I just don't know. And those are all basically West teams. But yeah. Regardless, the thing that I'm curious about is the national or outside of the state of Nebraska media reaction to Frost and Adrian Martinez. Because I think there's so many people that are like, yep, Nebraska's going to win the West, or they're going to win 10 games, they're going to be super good. Like, everyone is calling their shot. Not everyone, but there's a lot of people who are kind of calling their shot, that I'm curious kind of what the national takeaway is from this trip to Chicago. Because though Scott Frost could come out and say, we haven't proven anything yet, he still usually throws in one or two quotes in there every press conference, it seems like, where it's like, you know, get us now before we're good, or we're going to get this thing turned around, or, you know, we're going to get back to the 90s. You know, it's something along those lines. And Adrian, people haven't really met, and we're going to hear people talk about how mature he is to a point which is going to be tired, but like,
they're going to talk about how big he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's a big guy.
And then they're going to hear Frost say, you know, something that they're going to take. They're going to go to Adrian and be like, man, this kid's mature. He's really a senior, not a sophomore. And then they're going to go hear Muhammad Berry speak and get ready to run through a wall. And they're going to go, yep, Big Ten West champs.
Yeah.
And so I think the thing I'm curious about is what other people are asking them and how they're treating them. Because, again, you're right. Like, they just went 4-8 two times in a row. And now they have to kind of answer to expectations, even though they weren't great last year. So that's what I'm kind of mostly curious about. What kind of questions they get, what the reaction is overall, and kind of how many. The analogy I've used is like, if the Maryland beat writer or the Rutgers beat writer or the Illinois beat writer doesn't really have anything to write about, I could totally see them being like, you know what, I'm just going to write about Nebraska today. I'm just going to go talk to Adrian because he's a Heisman guy and Frost is a good quote. I'm just going to write about Nebraska. So I just feel like that first Thursday is going to be an ocean of Nebraska stories, and I'm kind of curious what they say and kind of what the outlook is.
Nebraska and Ohio State, you know, I think Ryan Day is a story too. Mm-hmm. They actually share a mentor. They do. I mean, Chip Kelly was Ryan Day's college head coach. I mean, he was his offensive coordinator. So, not his head coach, his offensive coordinator at New Hampshire. So they, you know, they've cut their teeth on similar philosophies. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they arrive at the same train station on offense, I don't think they're quite the same, but they have some of the same, you know, they've swam in some of the same waters.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. And so that'll be an interesting contrast, I guess, to explore. My sense is that Nebraska has been pretty quiet this offseason. They've laid low a little bit. I don't think that they want to puff their chest out too much. Last year we did a lot of interviews. I remember I got a 15-minute interview with Breon Dixon, you know, who isn't even with the program anymore. So, you know, I think they were pretty, you know, they were pretty open to do some of that stuff last year and year one, and they went around and did the assistant coaches tour, if you remember that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and those were great, loved them. But, you know, they dialed that way back this year. You know, Frost had his Husker Nation tour where he did the three stops, and, you know, it was mostly Q&A from the crowd and from Brendan Stye. So it was pretty lukewarm stuff. And Frost had a few lines there too. I mean, we heard him, we wrote about him. But they've laid pretty low. I mean, Martinez hasn't really done a lot of, you know, you work for a different outlet a couple years ago, but remember you writing about Tanner Lee and all the smoke that you generated, you know, and all the, woo, Tanner, you know, and Martinez went to the same Manning camp, and, you know, Nebraska's underplayed that. They haven't wanted to, they haven't tried to put a lot on him. Not to my awareness, I suspect Adrian has sat down maybe with a couple of large organizations that we're just not aware of, but I don't, there hasn't been some big long story on him. I don't think he's sat down for BTN for a long period of time or anything. It's not like Nebraska's, you know, put him out to everybody and say, hey, Adrian's going to talk for 30 minutes. They put out Barrett Pickering last week. Now, there's nothing wrong with Pickering. I like him.
Yep.
And he's a good talker and all that. But, you know, I mean, Barrett Pickering getting a hole-in-one was about as big of a story as Barrett Pickering talking about Husker football in the summer. So I think they've been pretty quiet. I think they've laid pretty low. And I think they, you know, there does come a point where it's, hey, let's win. And then maybe do a little bit more talking. Because Frost really hasn't. I mean, he just, you know, he hasn't been on Sports Nightly for an hour or something. He may, it wouldn't surprise me if he does that sometime this week before he goes to Big Ten Media Days. But you know, he hasn't done a bunch of interviews. You know, so Sports Illustrated hasn't been in, or The Athletic hasn't been in, or whatever. So it'll be interesting for me to kind of gauge, you know, where they're at. And then, of course, we've got the specific questions that beat writers want to know. And what are those?
She might like expectations, general things.
Well, Washington.
Well, sure. Injury updates.
Injury updates.
Cam Jurgens, Will Honus.
Strength and conditioning.
Yep, weight gain, yeah, strength gain.
That's going to be a pretty standard answer from here on out.
Oh, yeah, no.
They love their strength coach, yeah. And he's doing a good job. We're not going to get much.
I'm not saying we're going to even ask it. I'm just saying it's going to be asked.
I think their strength program is a real asset, but they like to... They like to keep that to themselves. And I'll be honest with you, there's nothing wrong with that. I went over to Iowa over the summer, and Iowa has kind of a summer session where all their best players talk. And those guys can't stop talking about, you know. Then they'll tell you everything you want to know about that guy. Nebraska's a little more circumspect, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way they want to play it. I think they feel like they've got an edge over there at Nebraska with Duvall and Ellis, and they don't want to – they're not looking to try to, you know – get a bunch of attention. I think they just want to do what they do. The injury update. I don't think Frost can talk about Jakeem Green because he's not signed.
Exactly.
I'm not sure he's coming to Nebraska. I guess we'll find out. He'll be asked about Dedrick Mills again, I think.
You'll probably get updates on some of the transfers, Prist up and... the tight end out of Rutgers, because you never know with the NCAA. Sometimes they can grant those, so will Nebraska pursue those immediate eligibility waivers?
Certainly could. There's nothing that's going to change about Travis Vokolek's story other than if he doesn't play until next season, then that's Jack Stoll's senior year, and then Vokolek can stick around one more. But my understanding of this guy and his physicality and his physical makeup is that Vokolek's going to play a lot once he can play, and might be a, you know, legitimate NFL product. So I don't know how long, you know, I'm not sure Nebraska will have him for full. I don't know. I mean, I think he's got, apparently he's pretty well put together and has all the skills and all that. So it may behoove them to play him right away or try to, but that's good. Noah, Vokolek. Prist up. I don't know what the, you know, I guess he can play right away here. It would surprise me, but maybe he beats out Isaac Armstrong. I don't really know.
Yeah.
I guess that's possible. Because he redshirted last year, technically, because he only played in four games.
Right.
So he used up his redshirt year. What else? O-line.
Yeah, position battle stuff.
Oh, yeah. Trenches.
Safeties.
Jurgens, you said that.
Yep, O-line. Linebackers. Kind of get a better sense of who those guys might be.
Wide receivers.
Yeah. I mean, Andre Hunt, Cade Warner. Yeah, I think that's kind of the general gist. The roster turnover has been pretty remarkable. More than 100 players brought in by Frost now in two cycles. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go back and see how many are left on the roster who were not recruited by him, because it's dwindling quickly.
Well, if you're talking walk-ons, I can't give you an answer to that. I don't know.
Scott, yeah, sure. Just something to... Heck, that'll pass the part of the time for the 8-hour drive to Chicago.
We don't have to pass any time there, because I can tell you who they are based on the Husker Scholarship Distribution page on the Omaha World Herald's recruiting site. What do you think of them apples? I'll give you the names. Most of them, a lot of them on defense.
You should do this while you're eating chips.
All right. We can at least open them.
Oh. So symbolic.
Let's see. All but two of the seniors. Scholarship seniors. So the two scholarship seniors they did not recruit. I'm sorry, that's not true. Four. Vaha Venuku, Jaron Woodyard, Mike Williams, and... Kenaway Noah, so 12 scholarship seniors.
Darian Daniels? Well, I guess he'd be a senior.
No, you're right. 11 scholarship seniors. Of the juniors, let's see. There's 5, 7, 8, 9, 13, 14, 15. 15 scholarship juniors, so we're up to 26, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Let's see. Damian Daniels is 27. DeAndre Thomas, Chris Walker, that's 29. Max Sichterman, Brock Bando, now you're up to 31. Rafdahl Allen, McQuitty, Bradley, you're up to 35. David Alston,
yep.
I guess he counts. He signed with under Frost, 36. Wildeman, 37. Jurgens, 38, again, signed under Thross. You can just, you know what, you can just go with 35.
Yeah.
That's it.
Pretty remarkable.
It is.
In two cycles.
It is. It really is. I mean, they've cleared the decks. And not unreasonably. I mean, there were a lot of players who simply did not fit what Frost and Chenander wanted to do. And so... They did. And then there's a couple players that I think at the end of the day, you wish they could have found, you know, a little bit more footing here. You do. Like, I think in different circumstances, Avery Roberts might have been a pretty good player at Nebraska. And I think he might be pretty good at Oregon State, and they might miss him, you know,
sure.
A little bit. That's a guy that I think probably could have maybe figured it out here. Or whatever word you want to use for it. And then, you know, I still think Guy Thomas, who's at a junior college this year, is probably going to end up being a pretty decent player at the collegiate level, or could be. But that's about it. I mean, I think they cleared the decks of a lot of guys that just weren't going to do a lot at Nebraska, or they, you know, their skill set did not fit the skill set. And we're going to find out a lot about those two quarterbacks, Patrick O'Brien at Colorado State, and Tristan Jebby at Oregon State. Mm. If neither one of them can win a starting job this year, you know, that to me says something. You
know? Yeah, no, it's a good
point. It really does.
Yep.
I mean, this will be Jebby's, third year in college football, and I think it'll be O'Brien's fourth. So, you know, by then you usually if you can't win jobs at Colorado State and Oregon State, then you probably weren't the guy,
mm-hmm.
So to speak. I don't know if you want to put it that way, but anyway. I do think it's going to be, you know, an interesting conversation around those guys, and I think Barry's going to come out pretty hot and be real frank and say, well, we're here to win a championship. I think you're going to get that from him. I don't suspect Frost is going to be that, but I think Barry's going to be real blunt and he has a right to be at this point. I mean, when you've been through what he's been through as a player in the program. You know, you've basically experienced 6-7, 9-4, 4-8, and 4-8. Probably pissed off, ready to change the story. You know, Khalil Davis has had four different defensive line coaches. He was recruited by a fifth, and he's had three different defensive coordinators. And he too has gone, 6-7 in his redshirt year, then 9-4, 4-8. He's like, this isn't the way I want to go out. If these guys go out at a 9-3 or a 10-2 record, they'll be like, we started something on our final go round here at Nebraska. We started the trajectory upward, and that would be, I think, kind of a big deal for those guys.
To me, Adrian is the one that I'll be interested to hear from because, last year everyone talks about how well-spoken he is and the maturity and all that's absolutely true. And as last year went on, he was very reliable every week to come up and talk for 5 minutes. And he was one of those guys who you can kind of go back and listen to his comments and be like, he really didn't say that much. He never really made waves, ruffled any feathers, made any bold declarations. So I'm going to be interested to see how he, just what that hour is like with him constantly being asked questions from national reporters, local reporters. I think back to a conversation we had, Sam, where you said, maybe that next little step for him is being able to talk about teammates in a more detailed manner.
Yep.
And doing it in a way that's not
disparaging to
anybody.
Not
disparaging and not putting them, under too high of expectations. I think that'll be interesting.
It will.
To hear from him in that regard, too.
It will.
Does he say anything over the course of an hour? Is he bold? Is he insightful? He's someone I'm going to be really interested to see what kind of leap that looks like here for his second season.
Mm-hmm. I think he's a good storyteller. I mean, do you remember he told us the story about how he got hurt?
Yes,
That's the only one I remember though.
Yeah. But it's because no one really gave him an opportunity to talk about anything else other than, so you're the starter now. What's that like? So you're a freshman. So you're good.
I think we could ask him a better class of questions.
I think he's gonna be able to tell some stories, and I think people are gonna be surprised by that. But I am curious about overall boilerplate. What's he say? Because I think you're right. I think we know what Barry's going to say, and we kind of can figure out what Khalil's going to say, but Adrian's still kind of a little different.
And part of it, again, is because he is the guy, and he knows it this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, he earned the job in August. It was the true freshman, playing with 21 and 22-year-olds. Now he knows he's the guy. I think there's value in him coming out here in this thing and kind of it being the unofficial, kind of coming out party for him as a national player in college football.
Agreed. Before we get on to Big Ten storylines, we're going to eat some chips. So I'm going to take two here. You guys can take as many as you like.
Oh, interesting.
Why are these my favorite chips? Well, because they're, they're flavor-packed, right? And
so do you want to tell them what it is?
I'm not going to tell them yet.
Okay.
Mmm. And they have a crunch.
Mmm.
And they don't really taste like much, right? They taste kind of like cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that. And a lot of people don't like these at all because they're 65% less fat. And I'm fat. And they're like, why would you like these? But I do. They're baked Lay's.
They're good.
Barbecue flavor.
Barbecue flavored, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So also like the sour cream and onion flavor.
Can't go wrong with sour cream and onion flavor of almost anything. But I will say, and you can attest to this as well, College World Series this year, they had an excess of, I believe it was this, wasn't it?
I believe so.
It was barbecue baked Lay's. This is true.
The media meal?
And they not just the meal. They for some reason had far too many of them. So they had they had paper plates with the words "Take one free" on these giant bags. So I have eaten more of these chips than any other chip this summer, to an extent where like you're sitting there and they're good and they don't taste like anything, but they're good enough that me and John Niatawa would sit there and just destroy a bag over like three innings and not even like realize it. That's how good these chips are.
You like covering the College World Series?
It's fine.
Yeah,
I don't like baseball at all, so that's my thing.
Okay, that's fine. That's good.
Okay.
You like it?
I do like it. It can be a grind toward the end, but I do like it. I like the national storylines and the people coming in, and yeah, I enjoy it.
Do you like the style of baseball that you have to play at TD Ameritrade?
You know, I think that's starting to even itself out a little bit more.
It is.
Don't you? I mean, did you hear
Florida State scored two runs in three
games?
Yeah,
that's a testament to Florida State, though, than more than it is the Park.
They won one of the games!
Yeah, they had good pitching. What, you can't play you can't play a 1-0 game?
Good pitching.
No, that did not. I don't know that I heard
you
that
You can throw
at all
fastballs all day in that park. You can't hit it out.
I don't think I heard the normal complaints that we heard all the seasons ago this year.
It's just because it's normalized. What are you going to do? Keep complaining about something that won't change?
Yes. People do that all the time.
Why?
I don't know.
Welcome to America. That's what
exactly.
we do.
I think teams have gotten more attuned to hitting home runs, and so there's more home runs hit, but there's also more strikeouts.
Sure. That's
and
just
so,
baseball.
Again, like if a pitcher knows I can throw a fastball that isn't a great fastball, and the worst you're going to do to me is hit a single or maybe a double in the gap. Maybe you'll hit a home run, but only on certain days. I think it makes them more confident. They can throw more strikes.
Probably so. I thought there was a good story. I forget who what outlet had it during the All-Star break, talking to major leaguers saying, would you rather hit 300 with, you know, 15 home runs, or would you rather hit, you know, 230 with 45? And a lot of guys said, give me the home runs.
Well, yeah.
You know, give me the OPS. And it's just, and you're seeing it seep into college baseball too, where it's like they know that if they can score with one swing instead of putting three singles together, they want to do that.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but you just, it's hard to hit home runs there.
It is.
And so as a result, like it's, you know, it gives the pitchers an extraordinary amount of confidence on the mound.
I will say I had one Big Ten coach tell me during the Big Ten tournament that they went out there with a rangefinder during practice, and they thought that the outfield wall was actually labeled about 20 feet off of what it actually was. They thought it was the actual distance was 20 feet longer than what was listed.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, that people are aware of it for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was our eating chips segment, brought to you by Baked Lay's barbecue flavor. You can get those at most sandwich shops.
Mm.
That's usually where they have them.
No kidding.
They're never on sale at the grocery store. Doritos are always on sale.
Well, yeah, you know, they're Doritos.
Fritos. Yeah. I guess. I don't really. Yeah. You go through that phase as a kid where you want to eat Cool Ranch Doritos. And
yeah.
You don't like. Yeah, I'm past that phase. Maybe I ate too many of them. I've eaten too many of many things. Big Ten storylines. I could talk about this all day.
Can we just eliminate Michigan and Ohio State? Like, let's just say, like, those are obviously the top ones and, like, get into something maybe a little less obvious.
Yeah.
I just wanted to preface that.
Go ahead.
Well, I didn't have one right off my
tongue
here. I can get to one.
I got one.
I'll tell you what, while you think of a non-Michigan storyline, I'm going to say this. The league's up for grabs. There is a power vacuum there. There are a number of teams that can fill it.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be. Ohio State does not have to re-up its membership as the dominant team in the league. That may or may not happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance. There is a window open. The most logical choice to go through that window is Michigan and Jim Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
To this point, they have stabilized their program, and they're a better team. They're in a better place than they were, you know, since Lloyd Carr was there. Problem is, Lloyd Carr was forced out because he was going 9-3 and 10-2 and getting to Rose Bowls, but not playing for the Natty. And that's kind of where Harbaugh's at now. And so it'll be interesting to see, because he doesn't give them very much access in the offseason. He does a podcast, his own thing, but it's going to be interesting to watch. Kind of how he handles, you know, being the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And like last year, he got that question. You know, you've got a 0-3 record. You haven't beaten this team. You haven't beaten Michigan State. And it was members that rant that long question, I think, from Michigan State reporter about all the things Michigan hasn't done.
Yeah.
Well, they still haven't done any of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they beat Michigan State, I guess, but they still haven't done anything. And they haven't even played for the Big Ten title. Their bowl performances have sucked the last 2 years. I mean, they lost to a bad South Carolina team 2 years ago in a game they never should have lost. And then last year, they, you know, two or three of their best players just didn't want to play in the bowl game because they were afraid to get hurt. And then as a result, you know, they got run off the field by a very overrated Florida team. So, you know, I think they come into the season, you know, and he's changing his offense for a third straight year, basically. You know, and they hired a new offensive coordinator in Josh Gattis, and he's apparently going to be given the keys, and they're going to run more of a spread system. And so Michigan's going to be a big story. You're right. I don't think Ohio State will be as big of a story because nobody really knows how to exactly tackle that. It's going to be the absence of Urban Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I actually expect Urban Meyer to be there. I expect him to be there because Fox is, you know, a co-owner of the Big Ten Network, and they're going to have a new pregame show. And, you know, most of Fox's contract is built around Big Ten football. And so he's on the pregame show, and it would not surprise me in the least if Meyer is there at least one day, maybe the day Ryan Day isn't there.
Hmm.
But it wouldn't shock me if he shows up and we're talking to him as a member of the media, which is weird. And if he's, you know, he's not one of us, but, you know, we're sitting there, hey, how you doing, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think of the team that you know? I'm not going to answer any questions about Ohio State, whatever. So, but he's going to be a really good analyst because you talk about a guy that has an extraordinary amount of insight on the teams whose butt he just kicked over and over. You know? So anyway, now what is your non-Michigan Ohio State?
You know, I think Wisconsin to me is fascinating. It seems every year that they get the hype. Recently, it hasn't panned out, and vice versa. When you sleep on them, they seem to rise up. And you know, I don't really have a great sense of what the national perception is of Wisconsin right now. It seems that people are talking certainly more about Nebraska. You know, Minnesota is a rising power. Iowa is that, you know, kind of sign and develop machine that they've got in Iowa City. I mean, Wisconsin of those teams has the track record in the last 5, 6, 7 years, you know, of doing what they do. And they still have, I mean, Jonathan Taylor still there. Graham Mertz as the freshman quarterback is intriguing if he earns that job and if that how much that may or may not change their offense. And then, you know, the Paul Christ factor is just he's so, you know, kind of straightforward and just very to the point. And that doesn't draw a lot of excitement or a lot of reporters necessarily. But man, Wisconsin's just good at kind of laying in the weeds there, and it feels like they're in just where they want to be in that
which
sense.
I get what you're saying. You're right in a sense, but like wins and losses are not determined by the storytelling wizard. Like it might be that Wisconsin just isn't that good. And you're right when you say, well, you know, yeah, they are where they want to be, and yeah, they weren't very good last year when they were really hyped up. But like, and I've heard this from some people, oh, they're going to be better than people think. And I'm like, okay, but how?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they
like,
have,
and
they,
then
they,
people can't answer that. They're like, oh, it's going to happen. And I'm like, if they lost their offensive line and they lost like 5 good defensive players, how are they going to do it? Just, you know,
I mean, they
are going to crap out 9 wins? Or like, how? Right. You look at that team at the end of last year and you're like, this team's bad. So how are they going to do
it? But don't they have a track record? Don't they have a history of developing those O-linemen and reloading in the last 5, 6, 7 years?
Well, like, they do.
Like, yeah. Just because we can't immediately say, like, who it's going to be, I don't know. I just feel like until they – it's kind of the anti-Nebraska when it was like you always said, Chris, I mean, you're not going to pick them until they win a game. I just feel like until Wisconsin really lays an egg over a sustained period, like a season.
That's fair.
I'm just not to the point where I
this
can just
say
this
just feels like the Michigan State argument. I'm like, oh, the Michigan State. Yeah, they went 3-9 last year, and they went 7-6 last
year.
But
they've been roller coastering for years now.
I mean, no, they were in 2013 through 2015, they were outstanding.
Yeah.
They were great every year. They were 13-1, 12-2, and 12-2. They were very good. And then when they went in 2016, they went 3-9. And then last year, and then 2017, they went 10-3 again. And like I remember saying, they're gonna take a dive. And everybody, no, oh, they're Michigan State. I'm like, that's not there. And I could be wrong. I could be wrong about Wisconsin too. I was wrong about them last year. I thought they'd be really good, and they weren't. But for me, I feel like they're gonna go down because I just don't think the team's that good.
Here's the curious thing about Wisconsin for me is Paul Christ, right, who is just a joy. There's a certain element of, and we've talked about this and written about this, of like Wisconsin wants to be boring. They actively are boring.
Mm-hmm.
and they're cool with being boring. Because if they're good and boring, then it's fine. But if they're mediocre and boring, then it becomes, I think, in some ways, an issue. Where, like, in some ways, you Paul Crist almost needs to go and sell the program a little bit. Be like, sell them in terms of, like, here's, you should be excited about Wisconsin because of these reasons. And instead of saying, like, well, just the same old stuff. You know what I mean? You can do the same old stuff when you go, when you win 10, 12, you know, games every single year. But when you're projected to maybe not be the favorite in the West or be take a step back, I feel like you have to sell. And I feel like that's what some coaches are able to do, is they're able to sell when they're maybe a little bit worse, or they're able to, you know, tone down. And I'm curious what, I mean, I guarantee you Paul Crist is going to be regular old Paul Crist and, you know, do whatever. But I feel like he needs to sell a little bit more, you know what I mean, to kind of get more of the excitement and kind of play the game of the Big Ten media days.
But the story that you're bringing up is a good one. Is it's like, because what you're saying is going to be what a lot of people say. And that may turn out to be true. Mm-hmm. It's just that I'm like, at some point, you actually, you know, they have to start a quarterback. They can't just, you know, start Wisconsin quarterback number three. I mean, it has to either be Jack Cohn, who wasn't very good last year, or it has to be a true freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska started a true freshman last year, and even though he was great, they still finished 4-8. Like, at some point, the magic, like, everybody else is going to get good. Wisconsin feasted on a crap division for a long time. And at some point, everybody else is going to get good. Like, I don't think Purdue's going to roll over for Wisconsin anymore. Minnesota's not going to roll over for Wisconsin. Like, right. They didn't. So for many years, it was like, well, they're going to beat Minnesota, they're going to beat Purdue, they're going to beat Northwestern, they're going to beat Iowa, they're going to beat Nebraska, they're going to beat all these teams because they all suck. But they don't suck. Like, they don't suck. Like, Nebraska's not going to stink. And Iowa's not going to stink. And Purdue's not the crap team that it was 5 years ago.
No.
I'm not saying Purdue's going to beat Wisconsin. I'm saying that when Wisconsin goes and plays Purdue, their starters are still in the game in the fourth quarter. And I think there were so many times in the last 5-6 years with Wisconsin, they beat the crap out of teams so badly in the first 2.5-3 quarters that they had energy left at the end of the game. And part of what I think happens is there's not energy left, right? Like, Alabama's awesome. Clemson's awesome. Why? Their starters are sitting by the end of the third.
Mm.
They're not beat up. They're not going through a crucible each week. And so when Bama goes and plays LSU, it's like Bama's only played 6 games and LSU's played 7 because of the freshness factor.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Wisconsin had an advantage, and I'm just not sure they have it anymore. They can't just go and beat the living crap out of teams. You know, they lost to Minnesota last year, and the weeks before that, they had hard games, and they lost them. So I don't know.
Well, yeah, no, it's a
good debate.
That's
the piece that I think it's – anyway, that's a good one. What's another one?
Mine is Purdue.
Okay.
I don't think we've talked about this at all, but I told Evan that I think Nebraska-Purdue at the end of the year is probably the one game I have circled on Nebraska's calendar like 3 or 4 times.
Oh, okay.
I just can't wait for it.
It's a big game, I think.
And I agree. I think Jeff Brohm staying is a huge deal. I think Purdue is just going to be so fun. They're not, like you said, they're not the Daryl Hazel teams anymore.
No.
They're not, you know, when you know, Nebraska goes to Purdue, I think it's going to be one of those games where I've never actually seen that stadium full.
Right.
I haven't even seen it half full.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like it's just going to be exciting. I think Purdue is a team in the West that I don't think a lot of people are going to pick them to win, but I think that they're a team that, like, I could see them, every team in the West, I could see them beating, just in a scenario if they just get hot. I love Jeff Brohm's offense. I love the way he calls things. I think that the culture's just different, and I'm curious what the conversation around Purdue is, because I think that they are similar in some ways to Nebraska.
Right.
And so we're talking so much about, you know, Nebraska winning in the West, but I'm curious what the conversation is with Purdue, because I like it.
Purdue seems to me a lot like Kentucky in the SEC.
Yeah, that's good.
Like, you know, Purdue is probably not going to be a 10-2 team ever. They might. You never know. But there's a big difference between 2-10 and 6-7. Granted, Jeff Brohm's just 13-13 over the last 2 years, but look at the teams that they've beaten mm-hmm. in that time, right? Like, they've taken a bite out of Iowa, out of a good Iowa team. They beat Ohio State. They went out on the coast and beat Arizona. These are teams that they wouldn't even have dreamed of beating 3-4 years ago. And so part of what happens is it's like Kentucky. You know, I mean, Mark Stoops not every one of Mark Stoops' teams have been as good as the one was last year. I think they finished 10-3 or something like that. But there's a difference between 3-9 and 6-7. And the difference is you take somebody out. And I think that's where Purdue is. And honestly, that's where Minnesota is too. Now, Minnesota was not a bad program prior to PJ Fleck taking it over. It was kind of screwed up because of, you know, some stuff going on in the program culturally, but they were pretty good. Jerry Kill did for Minnesota what Jeff Brohm is doing at Purdue, and PJ Fleck has just kind of continued that. But you can't just look at Minnesota on the schedule and go, well, that's a blowout win. Mm-hmm. You don't know. You might blow them out. Nebraska did. Or you might get beat like Wisconsin did. So, like, it's one of those deals where, you know, Minnesota's not a bad team. They're pretty good. I think Minnesota's going to go 6-6, 7-5, but that's not 3-9 or 2-10.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Big Ten West has a lot of teams like that.
That's what I was about to say. This is why I love the Big Ten West. This is why.
God bless you for loving that.
I'm on the Big Ten West.
Yeah.
Because every team, you're just like, well, I don't know. Like, I could see this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see Purdue for no reason beating Iowa 42-10.
Yeah, it could happen.
Like, for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could see Iowa beating Nebraska 42-10. Or I could see Northwestern beating Minnesota 42-10. Like, it's mm-hmm. just, there's so many scenarios. And I
could see Nebraska beating Wisconsin bad this year.
I could just all see
it happen.
Everybody's, like, aggressing to the mean.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's about there.
Or,
so
yes.
That's why it's fun.
Or progressing to it.
Sure, yeah.
Because there are teams that are coming up.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's the thing about the Big Ten West is, like, you can name all of them off, and it's like, maybe with the exception of Wisconsin, you're saying, man, this team's going to get better than it was. And even if you're just talking about last
that's
year,
true.
Man.
That's true. Even Illinois.
Illinois is going to be better
than
they were
better.
Last year. Nebraska's going to be
better.
I don't
know if they're going to be any good.
Maybe Purdue will take maybe a step back. Maybe.
People seem to think so, but I don't. I don't think they will.
But you could make an argument for every team in the Big Ten West that they're going to get better this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Northwestern.
Well, they have the quarterback, the former five-star
yeah.
coming in. I mean,
they won so many games by the, you know, by that, the chin, the whiskers on their chin last
sure.
year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But contrast that with the East, you know,
yep.
when it's like, whoa, Penn State's going to take a step back. Whoa, you know, Ohio State.
They
no
probably
Urban
are.
Meyer. Even Michigan, for all that it has, what it lost defensively is no small thing. And then they have the athletes. So, but that'll be something to watch. You know, okay, Maryland, Purdue, whatever.
I think that is funny thing about Michigan. I think them losing those players on defense, even though it's not a good thing, might free them up a little. Because I think it's going to free them up to say, all right, we got to go outscore people.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
we can't assume that our defense is going to shut everybody down. So let's open it up. And let's throw it around the yard. I think an attitude like that would have helped them against Ohio State. I think they went into that game leaning on their defense and expecting their defense to shut Ohio State down. And when that didn't happen or came even remotely close to happening, I think they kind of, you know, their offense didn't play poorly per se, but they kind of, you know, imploded.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think they'd be better. And I've always thought, like, I don't understand why Harbaugh, as an offensive guy, wants to have a defensive program. And this, I think, will be the first year where you look at that offense and go, that is one of the Big Ten's four best offenses. And I think they will be. I think they'll rank up there with Nebraska. I think we'll have one of the league's best offenses. Ohio State obviously will. Michigan will. And I think that last one's kind of a wild card.
Purdue/Minnesota.
Maybe Purdue.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe Indiana.
Hmm.
Indiana won't. I'm not sure how much defense Indiana plans on playing, but maybe them.
Hmm.
I can tell you that Michigan State's defense isn't going to be any good. All right, so we're going to Chicago tomorrow. This will be the last thing we talk about. What's your favorite kind of pizza?
Like toppings? Like crust? What are you talking about?
All of it.
You know, I'm
do you
not
like
a,
Chicago
I,
deep dish.
I am not
you
a
not.
Deep dish guy.
That's right.
I don't. It stays with me for days. I feel.
Did you get it last year when we went?
Yeah, it was peer pressure.
They have thin crusts in those places, you know.
Well, that's what I'm going to be going to this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. The adult peer pressure got to me last year. All the cool kids were doing it. And so I went along with it and felt bad for like the next day.
It was
so,
a long day. We wanted deep dish pizza and a beer. That's what we did.
So I'm going, oh gosh, that just sounds heavy right now. give me, you know, thin crust or hand tossed. I'm not terribly picky with the toppings. Supreme's fine, meat's fine, but I gotta stay away from the deep dish. That's my solemn vow for our trip this year.
There is a perfect kind of pizza, and it goes like this: regular crust, cheese. Obviously, you put some mushrooms on there. You put some pepperonis on there. You put cream cheese on there, and you eat it. That's the perfect pizza. Deep dish, I'll deal with, but it's not perfect. I'll do it because I'm in Chicago, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm here, and I can't really get this anywhere else, so I'm going to do it here. But the perfect pizza is, as I said before, Domino's pizza, it doesn't matter.
A lot of tang in that one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I like pizza in many ways. I like deep dish pizza. But I'll tell you what, I like modified deep dish, like Wig and Pen. You've been there.
We have, right? Yeah.
So like that. Which is sort of a modified deep dish. They have the same amount of cheese that you'd have normally in a Chicago deep dish, but it's a thick crust, but it's not the biscuit crust.
Right, not a pie. Right.
Like that. Yeah. So I like deep dish a lot, just plain old sausage.
Is that your favorite kind of pizza, deep dish?
I don't know, but I like sausage on it.
Sure.
If I was gonna pick something to have on it, it's probably sausage.
So sausage.
Homemade sausage.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
It will, won't it?
If we go to a deep dish pizza place and they don't have thin crust, are you going to get a salad?
They have thin crust at all the places around there.
Okay.
They do, though. They have it at Lou Malnati's. They have it at Gino's. They have thin crust everywhere. They know that not everybody wants that.
Can't wait. And there are a lot of restaurants around the Hilton Chicago.
Yeah, there's like hundreds of restaurants in downtown Chicago. It's one of the
four
or five best food cities in America.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there weren't a ton around on the hotel last year, I don't think.
There weren't a ton around McCormick Place. Yeah. No. Yeah. But there were a ton around. There was some around last year. Shake Shack was across the street.
Yeah.
Good burger.
Tom was all about going to Shake Shack.
He was. I don't think he's been getting a Shake Shack again because I don't think there's a Shake Shack down there. Yeah. There might be a Harold's Chicken Shack, which is a well-known chicken place in Chicago.
Anything with Shack in the name, you know it's probably pretty tasty.
Like Caddyshack?
Well,
one of your favorite movies.
It's all right.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah,
gotta love golf though.
Right.
You're not a golf guy, right?
Not overly. No. I like The Fugitive though.
There's no golf in that movie.
No, there's not. That's okay.
Yeah.
What's the SNL skit about the burger place?
If I knew.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. There's probably been more than one in the history of SNL.
It's a famous SNL skit with Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I went there. It's a place in Chicago. I went there for Big Ten Media Day for basketball because it's right down the street.
Oh.
It was super good because I got steak and eggs, and I thought, oh, it's steak and eggs, but it was steak and egg on a burger. I can't think of it.
I don't know.
But that place is really good as well.
We'll give you the full pizza report next week when we get the podcast. We'll also talk about everything that happened at Big Ten Media Days. Follow us along, and when we're in Chicago, we're going to have a lot of coverage over the next 2.5 weeks of everything that we get there. For Chris Hetty and Evan Bland, I'm Sam McEwen. Thank you for listening to the Pick Six podcast. Until next week.